The message, the title of the message that I want to share this morning is a little phrase that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago, and it's something that I've just been kind of rolling around in my mind, kind of renewing my mind in, and it is simply live surrendered to love. Live surrendered to love. Now, that's kind of the condensed version of that. If we were to do like an expanded, amplified Bible version of that, it might sound something like this. Be intentional to consistently endeavor to live a lifestyle that is surrendered, submitted, and yielded to the one true God who not only loves as an action, but also is love, a noun. Amen? Live surrendered to love. That's what I want to share this morning. So I want to break down each of those three words and talk a little bit about it. And I believe the Lord's going to challenge us to do that on a consistent basis. Amen? So to live a lifestyle, what does it mean to live a lifestyle? To live a certain lifestyle. I tell you what, why don't we play a little game, okay? It's called Lifestyle or Not, okay? So we have this imaginary person, his name is Danny, okay? And I'll kind of give you a scenario, and you tell me if Danny is living a lifestyle or not, okay? So first one, here we go. Danny goes to the gym 3 to 4 times per week, and the question is he living a healthy lifestyle with regard to his overall health? Is that lifestyle or not?
Lifestyle.
Because he's doing it, right, on a regular, consistent basis. Okay, number two, you guys are doing great. You're naturals at this. You're so good. So Danny has been diagnosed with diabetes and told that he needs to check his blood sugar level regularly. Danny checks it once and sees that it's a good reading, and he never checks it again. Is he living a lifestyle that is managing his diabetes well? Lifestyle or not? No? Not at all, right? Exactly. You're doing great. Number three, Danny plays video games every day for 4 hours. Is he living a lifestyle? Yes. Sometimes our lifestyle choices are not great, are not good. But he's doing it every day for four. It's a lifestyle. That's the life that he has chosen to live. He's living a lifestyle, right? Okay, you're doing great. Last one. Danny has surgery, and to heal properly, his doctor instructs him that although it will be painful in the beginning, he needs to go to physical therapy for the next 6 to 8 weeks in order to heal properly and regain full range of motion back. Danny goes once and decides to quit because he says it hurts too much. Is Danny living a lifestyle of handling his recovery from surgery well? No, he's not. So what's the difference between living a lifestyle or not? Consistency, right? Are we doing something on a regular basis? And keep in mind that the lifestyle choices that we make can be positive, or they can be negative, right? Danny chooses to go to the gym 3 times a week. That's a very positive lifestyle choice that he's made. Healthy, yes. Danny chooses to play video games 4 hours a day. Not such a healthy decision. Not such a healthy lifestyle choice on his part. There's the consistency, but it's not a good consistency, right? So you guys did great. Give yourselves a hand. You did great at the game, lifestyle or not. I think you guys are ready for The Price is Right next. And just remember, when you win that $1 million on there, just make out your tithe check to Christian Life Community Church, okay? Just kidding. So that's a lifestyle. The choices that we make on a consistent basis determine the lifestyle that we live. And what I feel the Lord is emphasizing this morning is to live a lifestyle that is consistently and regularly and day in and day out surrendered to love. Doesn't that sound like a good lifestyle choice? To live a life regularly that is surrendered to love? I mean, is there a better option that you can think of? Is there a better choice we can come up with? Sometimes we think we have better ideas than what God has. I mean, truth be told, right? If we're honest, sometimes we literally think we have a better idea than God. But my experience has been that when I have thought that, I have been found out to be wrong in that area. I actually don't have a better idea than what God has. And maybe you've come to that same place as well in your life. But the Lord, I believe, is saying to us this morning, live surrendered to love. Now let's look at that word surrendered for a bit. And if you want to, you can turn to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7 here briefly. And these are actually verses that I've shared within the past few months. And they're going to be familiar to you. James, I love the book of James. I remember Pastor Al used to call it the Proverbs of the New Testament because there's just so much wisdom and so much practical stuff in James. He called it the Proverbs of the New Testament. So James 4, verses 6 and 7 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Where it says submit, we could actually put in the word surrender. Surrender to God, surrender to love. What is your view of that word surrender? Does that have a positive connotation in your mind, or is it more of a negative connotation in your mind? When you think of the word surrender, what do you typically think of? I know for me, it probably, if I'm honest, has more of a negative connotation, right? Like, somebody's going to rob me on the streets, and they pull a gun and say, give me your wallet. And I have to surrender my wallet to them or be shot, right? It's that, you know, that's what kind of automatically comes to mind when I think of surrender. And there, that does happen, right? But what we're talking about this morning, surrender has a totally positive connotation. Because if we are surrendering to love, we are yielding to God. We are yielding to love. We're going to look at what love is here in just a moment. But would you rather live a life that is surrendered, yielded to God, or not? Especially in light of verse 6 of James 4. Because remember, it says that God resists the proud. God resists those who will not yield to Him, who will not submit to Him, who will not be subject to Him. God actually resists folks that make that decision. I don't want to be lumped in with that group of people. I want to be lumped in with, but He gives grace to the humble, right? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I think it's a better lifestyle choice for us to surrender or be submitted to God. Now, that word submit is cross-referenced in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32, where Paul is talking about prophecy, and he says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And it's the Greek word hupoazo, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right, but it means literally to stand under. So can you get that picture in your head where I am choosing, right, to surrender to God. I am choosing to place God here, and I'm choosing to stand under Him. I'm choosing to surrender to Him. I'm choosing to be subject to Him. And it's not just something that happens by chance. It's something that I am being intentional to do. Right? I am intentionally surrendering to him. The word suggests subordination, obedience, submission, subservience, subjection. As we choose to surrender to God, as we live surrendered to love, we place love here and we come under love. Do you think somebody would have a satisfied life if they lived submitted to love? If you lived under love every day of your life, that would look like a good life, wouldn't it? That would look like a good life. And that's the invitation that God's giving us today. Live surrendered to love. Now, sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, we actually are silly enough to think that we have a better idea than God. And we see examples of this throughout Scripture. If we turn to Matthew chapter 16. And, you know, it's funny in a way when we look at these examples and we think, oh my gosh, how could he think that? But if we pause for just a moment, we've done the same thing in our lives as well. Matthew 16, 21 says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. Now, that's not a happy thought, is it? And Peter recognizes that that's not a happy thought. And Peter decides that he has a better idea than Jesus' idea, right? And is it really Jesus' idea? Remember, Jesus said, I only say those things that I hear the Father speak, and I only do those things I see the Father do. So did this idea originate with Jesus? It originated with the Father. And Jesus is living surrendered to love. And he's, despite the pain that he's going to go through, despite the inconvenience he's going to go through, despite the fact we will see in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is not even his desire. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. He is living a life surrendered to love. Peter, on the other hand, thinks he has a better idea. Or he at least thinks that the idea that Jesus is putting out there is not a good idea, right? Then, verse 22, then Peter took him aside. Think about this for a second. Peter is going to correct Jesus. Is that just funny from the word go? Peter is going to correct Jesus. Really? Really, Peter? You're going to correct Jesus. You're going to tell him that the idea that he got from the Father is wrong and you got a better idea. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's ludicrous. And do we do the same thing at times? Maybe not consciously. Maybe we don't think, well, I don't think that God has the right plan there. I'm gonna tell him what I think my plan is. But do we do that by our actions? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Is that silly or what? Is that just ridiculous? It absolutely is. Now, Jesus didn't think it was so funny, but he turned. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Now, we look at that and we say, boy, Jesus really gave it to him, didn't he? Well, he did, but he is living a life that is surrendered to love. And so what he said, although it may seem harsh on the surface, it is actually motivated by love. It is motivated by love. His motive isn't to tear Peter down and stomp him into the ground and make sure he suffers for the silly thing that he said. thinking that he had a better idea than Jesus, thinking that he had the right idea when God had the wrong idea. It wasn't his intention to grind Peter in the ground. It was motivated by love. Hey, I love you. And what you're walking in right now is not of God. And I need to get your attention, Peter, so you can see that. He is living a life that is surrendered to love. And as he does that, he has this confrontation with Peter, which again is not meant to destroy him. It's actually meant to build him up. Here's an opportunity for you to repent, Peter, for you to change your way of thinking, that you have a better idea than what love does, than what my Heavenly Father does. Here's a wonderful opportunity for you to change your thinking and repent and live a life surrendered to love. Amen? As we said in the call to worship, there were times where Peter actually got it 100%. You know, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And a bunch of his disciples, a bunch of his followers said, what are you talking about? I am out of here. Check, please. I'll see you later, Jesus. But I don't really want to, because you talk that weird stuff. I don't know what the heck you mean. And Jesus looked at his 12 and said, are you going to leave too? And Peter said, who else has the words of life? You're the Messiah, Jesus. We're following you. And so he wasn't offended by something that he didn't understand at first glance, right? And that's what we do when we live a life surrendered to love. We're not easily offended because we're walking with love. We're walking under love, right? And love never fails. Love never fails. If I live a life surrendered to love, my life will not fail. My life will not be in vain. It will mean something. And it will make a difference not only to me, but to others as well. So here's the deal. You know, God doesn't always ask our permission before he does something. Sometimes he just is God and thinks he's God, and he just initiates stuff, and he doesn't even ask our permission, right? True. Yeah. And sometimes we really get tore up about that. Well, God, why didn't you check with me first? Right? Jesus says to his disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. And of course, they come across this terrible storm. What if Jesus had said, guys, get in the boat. On your way over, you're going to confront this horrible storm. You're going to think that you're going down. You're going to think that it's the end of your life. But I'm going to show up. I'll make everything all right. Go. Would there have been some hesitancy? I don't like storms, Jesus. I've been in some bad ones before, and I don't want to be in one that where I think it's going to be the end of my life. I don't like that idea at all, right? But Jesus didn't ask for their permission. And sometimes God doesn't ask for our permission either. But as we live surrendered to love, it doesn't matter what comes our way. Jesus even told us, in this world, you will have tribulation. There's going to be tough stuff you go through. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And as we live surrendered to love, we will overcome those challenges and those difficulties as well. Amen? As we live under the umbrella of love. Now, does that mean that everything always turns out the way we want it to? I'm not saying that for a moment. But I'm saying love never fails. Sometimes we don't understand it, but love never fails. So let's talk about love for a moment, and then I'll wrap up. Probably the one of the most familiar verses in all of the Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world. He so loved the world. That's the kind of the starting point of the good news of salvation, is that God loves you. Yeah, God loves the world, but he loves you individually. And of course we know, we'll just go there, that the word tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And then the word also tells us that there's consequences to sin. The wages of sin is death. But again, God so loved the world that he made a way for us to be reconciled to him as sons and daughters. Excuse me. And so he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to sacrificially die on a cross in our place. And that if we confess our sins, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead and receive him as our personal Lord and Savior, we can be reconciled to the Father. We can be reconciled to God as sons and daughters. And for those who are viewing online, whether you're watching this live or on a replay, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is your opportunity. And I just would encourage you, if the Lord is stirring in your spirit right now, and again, for those here in person as well, this invitation is open to all, I would encourage you to pray just a short, simple prayer. And I always tell people that the words aren't as important as your heart condition. But you would pray a prayer something like this: God, I confess my sins to you. I'm sorry for those sins. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die in my place. Would you forgive me of my sins? And Jesus, come be the Lord and Savior of my life. And if you prayed a prayer like that, I encourage you to tell someone that you're now a son or daughter of the Most High. You can email our church. If you go to our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net, there's a link where you can send us a prayer request. Just email us. Let us know that you received Jesus today and that you are what Scripture calls born again. But that's what love does. Love doesn't just do something either. If we go to 1 John chapter 4, I just want to take a look at this idea that God actually is love. That he not only loves, that's what he does, but he is love. It's actually who he is. So here we are in 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Here's the verse, verse 8. For he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And as we live lives surrendered to love, again, we live under this God who not only does love, we could say, but is love. That's who he is. And as born-again believers, we now have his identity, right? So we are actually sons and daughters of the Most High. We are sons and daughters of love. And if it's his nature to love, if he so loved the world that he did something about it, we will as well, because now we have his nature. That's who we are. It's not just what we do. We don't just say, I love because God loves me. We say that we identify with God who is love. It is our nature to love. It is our nature to live surrendered to love. Amen? That's exciting. That's exciting. And so that's one of the things that I've been doing these past several weeks, is just throughout the day, just renewing my mind that I am living surrendered to love. We need to be intentional about it. We can't just, you know, let the world initiate and we kind of respond to whatever's going on, whatever we see on the news. Like no, we need to be intentional and say, this is how I'm going to live my life. I am choosing to live surrendered to love, right? And maybe there's a challenge that we're facing. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's a bad habit. Maybe there's just a non-kingdom way we have about dealing with a particular situation. It's good for us to renew our minds. I am living surrendered to love. So I don't need to walk in that addiction anymore. Because there's power available to me to walk in victory over that addiction. Right? Like some of us, like control is a big thing. And many times control is kind of a defense mechanism that we come up with from a hurt that happened earlier in our life. Because the line of thinking goes, you know, that happened to me and it was just out of the blue and I didn't see it coming and I was hurt so badly by it. And so if I can control every situation, I will not allow that to happen again and I won't be hurt again. Can you see that? If I control the people around me, then I won't be hurt again, which is just a lie, right? We're not called to walk in control. The only control we're called to walk in is self-control. The only person I should be controlling is myself, right? And one of the things that we can control in us is to live surrendered to love, not to live controlling everybody around me and every situation around me. We can relinquish control as we choose to live surrendered to love. Amen? Okay, I'm going to wrap up, maybe, with with John chapter 15. John 15, Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Live a life surrendered to love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Let's think of obedience in terms of this. I am living surrendered to love. And because of love, because I'm motivated by love, because love is what drives me, I love him because he first loved me. And because of that love, I just naturally want to be obedient to him. Doesn't that put a different spin on it? It's not about who wins the argument. It's not about who makes the plans. It's not about doing it the most efficient way even. Because listen, God doesn't do it the most efficient way always. I think it was Pastor Steve shared with us recently that whenever God led Israel out of Egypt, he didn't take them on the most direct route. Right? He intentionally did not take them that way. Because he was concerned that if they came across some enemies and there was war that broke out, that they would, that Israel, the children of Israel, would have a tendency to want to just go back to Egypt. So it was in his grace. It was motivated by love, wanting the best for his children. He did not take them the shortest distance. He didn't take them the most efficient way. And I know for some of us, we can get really hung up on that, right? Like, what do you mean? It would be so much quicker if we did it this way. I think I have a better idea than you, God. No, you don't. None of us do. Right? And as we live surrendered to love, we can shift, we can adjust, we can be obedient to the plan that he has and be at peace in the midst of it. Amen? It's a conscious, intentional decision that we can make. And it's good for us to renew our minds in that before we get into the crisis. Because if I renew my mind in it, I am living surrendered to love. And that word becomes flesh inside of me and begins to change me from the inside out. When I'm in the crisis, I won't have a tendency to revert to the fleshly way I used to deal with something, trying to control it so I don't get hurt. It will be easier for me to walk in peace, to walk in love. Love that never fails. Okay, I'm going to use my second closing. 1 Corinthians 13. This is what love looks like. This is so familiar to us, right? 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long. Has God been patient with you? He's been darn patient with me at times. Love suffers long and is kind. Have you ever experienced the kindness of God, the kindness of love? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What a wonderful description of our loving Heavenly Father. And when we live surrendered to love, we are coming under this loving Father, this loving God of the universe that is crazy about us. That love never fails. Amen? That's a good place where we can live our lives. So let's just close in prayer. And let's consider that. Let's consider renewing our minds in that over this next week through the holiday season, that I am choosing to live surrendered to love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing love and that you did not just talk about your love for us, but you actually demonstrated it by sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, and making a way possible for us to be reconciled as sons and daughters. And so, Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, for your grace to help us to choose on a regular, consistent basis to say that we are people who will live surrendered to love. Live surrendered to love. Lord, help us to make that on a daily basis. And as we renew our minds in that, I pray that your perfect love would just come and continue to transform each one of us, that we would be able to walk in the perfect plans and purposes that you have for each one of us as we choose day by day to say, I live surrendered to love. Seal this word in our hearts, Lord. Help us to walk in it. Cause us to be very fruitful for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all for coming out today. Great seeing you.